One of the greatest of all the saints that is in the kingdom of heaven. And one who all saints agree, even amongst the saints, is the closest to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. A few considerations here taken from her life and also from St. Ambrose and from St. Augustine. She is called only the sinner, the only saint, the only one that we call by that title. We have confessors, we have virgins, we have martyrs, we have bishops, holy women. Many of them were great sinners before they became confessors and martyrs and so on. But there is only one that she is simply called the repentant sinner. And she is the one, St. Mary Magdalene, we will consider today. She had to sister Martha, her brother Lazarus, and she was living an evil life, exceedingly impure and evil and wicked. As it says in the breviary we're reading about her, it says she was completely cold in sin. Her heart was cold, and she was devoted to sin. And she had to have heard from her brother, and she had to have heard from her sister about the great miracle worker, about the great prophet that they followed, Lazarus and Martha. She could care less. And the first time that she sees our Lord Jesus Christ, she does something that no other one does in the gospel. She goes straight for the essentials. She doesn't care about any secondary thing. There is nothing frivolous about her. She only goes for the most important. As it says in the breviary, her heart was most frigid, most cold in sin, and then it burned with an indescribable love. What happened to that heart? She knew about the miracles of Christ, the curing of the lame and the blind, the raising of the dead, the lepers. She must have heard a sermon of Christ, not willingly, but walking by, and perhaps it was the sermon of the prodigal son. When Christ said, on that particular day, it says in the Gospel of St. Luke, that he was surrounded by the publicans and the sinners, and she was a sinner, so it may very well have been that day that she first heard the words of Christ. The publicans and the sinners drew near to hear him. She was familiar with that crowd. And maybe one day when she was with that crowd, she walked by and she heard Christ. It's the publicans and sinners heard him. And he spoke about why he came. St. Ambrose tells us she was the first to know the reason of his coming and then to put it into practice in a perfect way. He did not come to alleviate poverty. He didn't come to solve the problem of leprosy. He didn't come to fix the lame and to heal sicknesses of the body, though he did all of these things. He did not come to perform miracles, though he was a miracle worker. He came for sinners. And she is the only one in the gospel who did not come to Christ and say, Lord, that I may see, Lord, that I might walk, Lord, please cure my physical sickness, Lord, please cure my poverty, or all of whatever physical or problem, secondary problem that I have. She only came for the essentials. And she never asked for anything else. She didn't even speak to Christ when she first saw him. She went into the house of Simon the Pharisee. She could care less about what people thought. They all thought that she was evil, and she was. She was a well-known. She was very rich. Her brother and her sister rich, and she was also very rich. And therefore, she was very well-known for her evil life. And she could care less about the Christ. But she must have heard that sermon of the prodigal son. She heard something that he spoke, not impressed by his miracles, but impressed by his desire to forgive the sinner. And therefore, she went into the house of Simon. She never was prudent, says Bishop Sheen. Prudence was something that Mary Magdalene never knew. She was driven by the greatest of all hearts. He was in the house of Simon. It was a solemn dinner. They were not to be disturbed. She broke in. She didn't speak to all the many guests that were there at this solemn occasion. She went straight to the Lord, and she did not even speak to him. She knelt down and she wept. And in the breviary it says, and she wept with her tears, and she wiped with her hair his feet, and the smell of the oil filled the room. The mixing of two events in her life. The breviary puts them together. Remember that later on in her life, shortly before the death of Christ, she broke alabaster oil upon the feet of our Lord. But the breviary mixed them. The smell of the oil of her tears, it says in the breviary, filled the room. There was a sweet unction that Christ could smell. Now, the Pharisees could not smell it. They were disgusted. And Simon said, if only he knew what manner of woman this is that comes in here, and what manner of woman touches him, he would cast her away. And the Lord knew the thoughts of the woman. She did not need to speak as she wept upon his feet and wiped with her tears his feet. And he knew the thoughts of Simon. He did not speak to the woman. For with her there was a communication of hearts. But Simon's heart was far from Christ. Therefore he needed to hear his mouth, hear his words. And therefore Christ turned to Simon and he said, Simon, when I walked into this house, you did not greet me with a kiss, which was a custom of that land. But she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not wash my feet. She washes them with her tears and her own hair. She has been forgiven because she has loved much. The first word that Christ will speak about Mary Magdalene is that she has loved much. Or as it says again in the breviary, she committed many sins, but they were wiped away because she loved much. And she teaches us how to reach to the heights of heaven. She doesn't speak to Christ. She doesn't communicate with him, talk to him. She weeps and she kisses his feet. And her tears wipe his feet. And she shows by her actions that she is a sorrowful sinner. So perfect is her sorrow that she will be the example of all sinners of all time. And all repentant sinners can only be compared or shall try their best to be like unto her. To repent only for love. St. Ambrose says she understood the reason of his coming before anyone else. They would understand after the resurrection, but she understood before. And she only heard perhaps at the most one of his sermons. She heard only a few of his words, and she knew what he was about. And she went straight for his purpose. You came to forgive sinners. I am a sinner. I want to be forgiven. And I will show you my desire to be forgiven by my great love and by the tears with which I shall, with my hair and tears, wipe your feet. And this is the first time we see Mary Magdalene. Lazarus and Martha loved Christ. But they did not understand fully what he was about. She did. And then St. Ambrose tells us, and she was the first one to love the truth. For our Lord did not only come to speak the truth, he did not come that we might learn it. He came that we might love it. And we find one particular day that our Lord is speaking the truth to his apostles. And they are trying to learn the truth. They're trying to understand it. But they are not yet filled with love. And she is the first one who listens only with love. Therefore, she is the first one not only to know the reason for his coming, which is to beg forgiveness for sins and to embrace his forgiveness, but also to know the second reason for his coming, which is to love the truth. And so she is the first one that loves the truth. When she sits at the feet of our Lord and listens most intently to his words, not because she wants to understand only, but because she wants to love. And then a little bit later, we find that Lazarus is dead. And Christ comes after tarrying, and 4 days Lazarus is dead. Martha hears that Lazarus is near, and she goes out to speak to him. Because Martha, she does not understand. Master, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. If thou hadst been here. He gathers together Martha. He goes to the tomb. There is a crowd around. And then there is the reference to the Blessed Sacrament and the love of the Blessed Sacrament. She is the first one to respond to the call of Christ and come there to express her desires. In an altar in India, a few years ago, visiting there, saw the words written on the altar, which were the words spoken to Mary Magdalene. When our Lord arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, everyone was there, or many were there, but Mary Magdalene was not. She was still in the house weeping. And then some servants came, and it indicates in the gospel they were sent by Christ himself, because the servants came and they said, "Mary, magister adest et te vocat." The master is here and he calls you. There were so many people present at the death of Lazarus, and so many there at the funeral, and so many there standing at the tomb because of how famous that he was. And Christ was interested only in one. And he called for Mary Magdalene. Magister adest et te vocat. And she came, answering to the call. And many have related this call to the call of our Lord in the tabernacle, calling souls to come. The Master is here, and he calls us. Who was the first heart, and who was the first one that responded to the call of the Sacred Heart only because of love? Mary Magdalene. And she came. And here we see the movement of the heart. St. Ambrose again says, "For the Lord was not moved by the tears of others." But when Mary Magdalene came and he saw the tears of her, he then was moved with a great grievousness of spirit, and then he wept after seeing her tears. "For not every tear moves Christ," says St. Ambrose, "but those tears that are tears of love." For Mary Magdalene did not care about herself. She cared only for Christ, and she cared only for her brother. Martha loved her brother as well. Martha loved Christ as well, but it was mixed. It wasn't as perfect. Mary Magdalene came and Christ wept. And then, answering to her tears, as St. Ambrose, he rolled back the stone and Lazarus was raised from the dead. The tears of Mary Magdalene caused her own sins to be forgiven. And the tears of Mary Magdalene caused Lazarus to be raised from the dead. And the tears of Mary Magdalene called Christ himself back from the dead. And he visited her first. The tears of Mary Magdalene also in between teach the contemplative how to react in the presence of the suffering Christ. She will be at the foot of the cross with our Blessed Virgin Mary. There were many there, but she was there. And she wept at the foot of the cross. There's something special about her tears. And it is the perfection of love and the greatness of her heart and her depth of understanding and her going straightly to the essentials and not to anything secondary, for she wanted only Christ and him. And as it also says in the breviary, and when Christ was dead, the apostles left the tomb, but she did not. They went away, but she went searching for him. Even when he was gone, and his body was not present in the tomb, and she did not know where he was, and all hope was gone, she continued to search for him. For her heart only knew him. It was so purified and so perfect in her begging of forgiveness and in her first tears, and it became more perfect each day, that she could only be focused on him. She was the first mystic of the church. Seeking him even when he is dead and his body is gone. She teaches souls that are in great sorrow and in great anguish and feel very far from Christ. What are you to do when you cannot find him? What are you going to do? Continue to search. Do not abandon the tomb, but search. And she searched. And her tears called back Christ. Then Ambrose tells us. And he came. And when she saw him, she thought that he was a gardener. Master, where are you? Or where have you laid him? I am only interested in him. I'm not interested in you. I'm not interested in what you have done. I'm interested only in him. Master, where have you laid him? That I might go and complete the burial. Then St. Augustine puts into the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mary Magdalene, well have you considered me a gardener. Well have you thought me to be a gardener. She did not recognize him. For I am the only gardener of your soul. I will till it with my own hands. And I will make the divine love to grow within you. And I alone work inside the soul. I let no one else do it. Well have you thought of me as a gardener. And then that gardener, the very first word that he would speak after he rose from the dead would be spoken to Mary Magdalene. And the very first word spoken after the resurrection, without the resurrection, there is no hope for any one of us. No one of us has any hope. No one of us can be saved. No one of us has anything other in store for us than eternal damnation had our Lord Jesus Christ not risen from the dead. And the very first word that he spoke was her name, Mary. There was such love, such divine love in the way that he spoke that word. And she recognized him immediately. She didn't recognize his face. She didn't recognize the way that he walked. She didn't recognize the manner of his being, but she recognized the love in his voice. One word is all that it took, and she knew that it was him. And then she went to embrace his feet. She had cried upon his feet. She went to embrace his feet. Now the first time that she wept upon the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was to beg forgiveness. The second time she goes to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was to suffer with him upon the cross. And the third time that she goes to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, It is in an ecstasy of joy and in a spirit of gratitude, and as if she is in heaven, she goes to embrace his feet. And our Lord puts out his hands, touches her upon the forehead. The first word that he speaks after he rises from the dead is her name. The first soul that he touches when he has risen from the dead and is going to give us a permanent forgiveness is hers. The first body that he touches is hers. He touches her upon the forehead. Noli me tangere. And he says these words we've mentioned to you before. One of the beautiful contradictions or seeming contradictions of the gospel. You cannot touch me now. For you cannot touch me until hereafter. And yet our Lord is touching her. He's saying you can't touch me, but he is. As he touches us in the blessed sacrament when we receive Holy Communion. And yet he says we cannot fully embrace him until we are in heaven. There are many great saints. But Mary Magdalene, she is in a special place. We list her in a special place. She is the one that went straight to the essentials, the first contemplative and the first mystic, contemplating Christ, going to embrace his feet. And then shortly after the resurrection, her and her sister Martha and her brother Lazarus, a bishop, going about and converting the people of the area, Martha helping Mary Magdalene. They took them, some of the Jews, and put them into a boat, along with some others that were helpers of them. And they said they'd remove the rudders and the oars and the sail from the boat, push it out into the Mediterranean Sea. And they said, if this ship returns to these shores, we will kill you. And if it does not, you shall starve and die and drown in the sea. And they pushed the boat out into the sea. And the angels carried it miraculously over to the southern shores of France, in present-day Marseille, where Lazarus, Martha, and Mary got out. And then she spent another 30 years or so in a cave, in a secret place alone, doing penance for her sins and contemplating Christ, the first hermit of the church. The first contemplative, the first one to devote all of her life only to knowledge and love, and not to any secondary thing. The first one to be forgiven by Christ, the first one to be sorry only for love, the first one seen by Christ after the resurrection. She is an example to so many, whether it be the great sinner or the great mystic. Each can turn to Mary Magdalene, and she can teach us how to respond when we are great sinners, and how to respond when we want to learn how to pray. She can teach us how to pray. She teaches us what to do when we are totally separated from God, and when we have looked for him and we could not find him, when we are on the verge of despair. What are we going to do? Do what Mary did. She is our hope, as it says in the Dies Irae, O Lord, who did the thief forgive and Mary pardon, this gives us great hope. Give me mercy also. We say that in the Dies Irae, the prayer for the Requiem Mass. Lord, you forgave Mary, you forgave the thief Dismas. Forgive me. And so she is the one that we point to when we say we want to be forgiven. So all of us here are sinners. Every one of us has done evil in the sight of God. But none have done the evil that she did. We were not as malicious as she was. Our heart was not as cold as hers. We were not as cruel as her. We were not as evil as her. But when she turned, that heart that was so cold and so cruel became the warmest and the most on fire of all hearts. It doesn't matter how far we are from God. It doesn't matter all the horrible things that we have done in our past. All that it takes in order to remove these things is an act of perfect love. As our Lord said, the first thing that He would ever say about her, she has been forgiven. Because she has loved much. And all sinners must realize, no matter how great our evils, that we too can be forgiven if we only try to love much. Though we cannot love with the greatness of her heart, we can try to imitate it, and we can try to love. And then it will be treated to us as if we did love like her. Because our Lord came to be close to the sinners, but in order to transform them, as He transformed Mary Magdalene. She is our example. No matter where we are in supernatural life, she is one of the great examples. Our Lord did not choose her to be the first one that He would appear to after His mother, after the resurrection, for nothing. Because what was great in her heart is what He wants to be great in all of our hearts. So Mary Magdalene, let her be an example to all of us. We know what it means to sin. Let us ask her to teach us what it means to love. To love with a pure love. A love without conditions. A love that is not for secondary things, such as the curing of leprosy or the maiden able to walk. But a love that is for taking away only sin and for building the divine love inside of our own hearts so that we become saints. And then at the end, like Mary Magdalene, in the straight transport of joy, we will go forever to embrace the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and to be in His presence forever. And all of us, when we get to heaven, one of our first stops will be to Mary Magdalene. We will thank her for teaching us and giving us hope. Because so many souls, so many millions of souls down the last 2,000 years, so many millions of them would have despaired. So many millions of them would never have gone to the forgiveness of Christ did they not know about Mary Magdalene. And so those of us that have repented and never gone to confession will be able to go to Mary Magdalene and say, Mary, thank you for teaching me how to be sufficiently sorry for my sins. And please teach me how to be perfectly sorry. That I might be filled with the perfect love as you were filled with the perfect love. Though my love cannot be as great as yours, may you at least teach me to have a perfect love insofar as I can. And then we will all be happy together in heaven, standing before our Lord Jesus Christ and embracing His feet with her. And so I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.